أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين، وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: يسألونك ماذا ينفقون قل ما أنفقتم من خير فللوالدين. صلوات. Since this speech is about sending the thawab to the ruh of this marhuma, I would like to talk a little bit tonight, inshallah, about the importance of walidain and some of our duties towards the walidain and parents. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds extraordinary importance for the concept of ihsan bil walidain, means doing good behavior and dutiful behavior towards our parents. And in the hadith of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, he says that awwalu ma kutiba 'ala al-lawh ana Allahu la ilaha illa ana. First thing that was written on the divine slate, I am anallahu, I am Allah. There is no Lord, there is no one worthy of worshipping other than me. Man radiya anhu walidahu fa ana anhu radin, wa man sakhita alayhi walidahu fa ana anhu sakhit. So Prophet is telling us about the news of ghaib, news of the unseeable world. We don't have any access to the law, the divine slate. This is what has been written when Allah created the divine slate, and after its creation, the qalam, the divine pen, started to write down things over the divine slate. Prophet is telling us that the first thing that was written on the divine slate was this statement that ana Allahu la ilaha illa ana, I am Allah, there is no one worthy of worshipping other than me. And soon after talking about his issue of his tawheed and oneness, Allah mentions the issue of parents. So Allah, the second thing that was written was man radiya anhu walidahu, whomsoever's parents are pleased with him, fa ana anhu radin, I am pleased with him. وَمَنْ سَخِطَ عَلَيْهِ وَالِدَاهُ, and whomsoever's parents are displeased or angry on him, فَأَنَا عَنْهُ ساخط. I'm angry upon him. So this is what obviously these and several other ahadith in the same pattern inform us about how much important the duties towards the parents are in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ayat of Quran which I recited in the beginning, we learn in light of this verse when some people came and asked the Holy Prophet that whom shall we give our sadaqat, our infaq, our charities, whom shall we give our charities to? And the reply from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is قُلْ مَا أَنْفَقْتُمْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَلِلْوَالِدَيْنِ. So we understand very clearly that the charity in Islam starts from the parents. First charity that we need to do before giving to anybody else in the, you know, outside world, in Islam, the charity starts with your own parents, your own relatives, and on top of the relatives, your own parents. If your own father and mother need some help, any kind of help, including the financial, then basically that's where you're supposed to give your money without spending anywhere else, first spending on your father and mother. Actually, Shaheed Asani, rahmatullahi alayh, our great marji from Lebanon, who has written this historic book of, you know, Sharh al-Lum'a al-Dimashqiyya, and this book has been taught in every hausa since hundreds of years now, isn't it right? So much barakat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to this book. Shaheed al-Awwal was another marji from Lebanon, rahmatullahi alayh. He was imprisoned by the enemies, some of the Muslims of other sects had imprisoned him in Lebanon, imprisoned him, and in the prison he wrote Al-Lum'a. Kitab Al-Lum'a was written by a Shaheed Al-Awwal, rahmatullahi alayhi wa salamullah alayhi, this great personality of our Shia faith. He wrote the book Al-Lum'a and the walls of the prison with his blood. He didn't have any pen. Isn't that right? He had no pen and no book, no paper. So he wrote the Kitab al-Lum'a on the walls of the prison with the blood. And later on, Shaheed al-Sani, rahmatullah alayhi, came and he put a sharh, an explanation on his book, which is now known as Sharh al-Lum'a, which is part of the nisab and syllabus of every hausa in the whole world. You cannot find any alim who is a Shia alim who has not read the Sharh al-Lum'a. So this is the how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is respecting. This is the karamat and sharaf that these scholars have who protected our religion from the enemies. So Shaheed al-Sani rahmatullah alayhi in Sharh al-Lum'a, he says that the father has the right to take away whatever he wants, whatever money he wants from the son without asking the son. From the entire money and wealth of the son, everything that the son has, the father has right on that financial wealth that he owns. The father has the right to take away anything of the son without asking the son. Everything is you have is your father has a right over that. You cannot say to your dad, you did not ask me. He's not obliged to ask you. He's your father. This Islamic value system, we need to respect the values of Islam. The father and the mother have a superior status. So father is the owner of the entire wealth that you have. And we find in the hadith of Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam, he says that asluka min abik, your root is from your father. So in the light of this hadith, we understand that every goodness that you find in your personality, every good thing, every good sifat, every good attribute in your soul, every nice thing you have, you know, you read Quran, you read your prayers, you say, do your fasting, you whatever nice things you find in your spirituality, the sawab of all the good you perform goes to your father. Because your father who taught you all those things, and because of him all these deeds, all these nice things got transferred to you. So all the worships you perform, the sawab is going to your father. Because our root is from our father. We find that Amr ibn Jundab, one of the ashab of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, was a very rich man, and he was the head of his own tribe. He came to the Holy Prophet and asked about whom shall we give the sadaqah to? And Prophet replied, to the parents. So we understand that first sadaqah that we need to go, to start, when we are starting giving away the charities, that's where we start our charities, we support our parents. Obviously, if they stand in need, we give it to them. If they don't stand in need, we will give it to other. This is not part of the hadith I'm explaining to you. Then we give it to other relatives, and then later on to the rest of the mu'mineen. It is important to keep in our mind that the barakat in our money depends on our obedience towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we have the obedience towards Allah, we'll find the barakat in our maal. And if we don't have the obedience towards Allah, you can never make sure that this maal that you have right now is going to stay in your hands. And some people think we keep the money with us and that's how we can increase. We can save ourselves. We can protect ourselves. It's a protection for our future if we pile up the money with us. That's how they perceive. They don't understand the Islamic value system. They don't understand the concept of tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having reliance in Allah. They don't understand. This is what a mu'min is all about. A mu'min is never, you know, worried about tomorrow. Man ihtamma bi rizqi ghadin la yuflihu abada. So in Islam, we don't worry about tomorrow's risk. That's the difference between a believer and a non-believer. We don't care about tomorrow's risk. We find an old man in the life of the Prophet. He came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And this poor man was very poor and muhtaj, needy. And he had a son who was quite wealthy. He had lots of, warehouse of palms, dates and raisins and things like that. So he was doing very well. He was very well off. The son was doing very well financially. The father was very poor. He came to the Prophet and he complained that my son has the money, I am muhtaj, but he still does not support me. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has he always cares about everybody. He can never ignore the needs of the people, and he's there for the hidayat and guidance. So Prophet sent someone to bring his son. His son was brought to the presence of Rasulullah, and when he was asked, why don't you support your father? Well, I'm paraphrasing all these narrations in my own words. Prophet asked him, when he was asked that, why don't you support your father? He lied to the Prophet. He said, I don't have the money. First of all, lying in the presence of Rasulullah, who knows the ilmul ghaib and who knows everything of the universe before the universe was created. Isn't it something which itself is shameful for a person to lie in front of Rasulullah? Now, this is a lot of courage. When we talk about these things, these values, how tahammul and tolerance of Rasulullah, it's a big deal that we find in our Islamic history, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam to the Sama al-Ula, the first Asman, first heaven. Curtains were removed and he looked at the planet Earth, and two people were committing zina. A man and a woman were doing zina on the planet Earth. When you have access to the first Sama, first Asman, first sky, heaven, then you know everything about the whole world, because the first heaven is surrounding the world of matter. So the first heaven starts after the world of matter ends. So anyone who has access to the Sama number one, the heaven number one, will know everything about this world.
Prophet Ibrahim ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam was taken to the first heaven by Allah, and obviously he knew, he saw two people doing zina.
He could not tolerate. He sent his la'nat, his curse on those two people. And obviously it's the dua of a ma'soom prophet, the second most superior prophet Allah created. That's not an ordinary thing. Shaykhul Anbiya, Ibrahim Khalilullah, salamullahi alayhi.
So he did his la'nat on those two people, and they died with the la'nat of the prophet.
He was taken to the second sama, from the second heaven, and the story got repeated. He again saw two people doing zina, and he could not tolerate that. And he cursed on those two people, and they died. And it got repeated for the third time, and he was taken to the third heaven. Now, when you look at this narration, we get the glimpse of what Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam is going through.
Isn't it right? Because he is the one who is the commander-in-chief of the whole universe. You know, everything under the arsh of Allah is under his command.
Everything under arsh, not just the first heaven. You know, his grandfather Rasulullah was taken beyond the seven heavens. Isn't right? To the Sidratul Muntaha. And then beyond Sidratul Muntaha to the 70 Hijabat. And beyond the 70 Hijabat, he was taken towards the Arsh. ثُمَّ دَنَا فَتَدَلَّ فَكَانَ قَابَ قَوْسَيْنَ أَوْ أَدْنَى. So this is where Imam Mahdi alayhi salam comes from that nur. He's basically keeping tabs on all the information, and when he sees sinners doing the sins, we cannot understand how much tolerance it is required to tolerate and not to send the la'nat on the people. If he sends a la'nat, nothing will remain. Isn't it right? But this is the tahammul and tolerance that he has. Prophet, this son, he lied in front of the Prophet that I don't have the money to support my dad. Prophet knew the situation. He said to him that 1 month of the expenses of your father, I will take care of it, and the next month you take care of it. Look at how Prophet is going out of the way, out of his way to help out the father. It's not the fariza of the Prophet, it's the fariza of the son. This is how Prophet is doing the hidayat and guidance. Prophet gave the father the expenses for 1 month, and father went away, the son went away. That month expired, and we find that the father came to the son, asked for money for the next month. The son again furnished the same excuse and said, I don't have it. The father again came to Rasulullah that, you know what, you gave me the expenses for 1 month, now is the second month, and I went to the son and he's still not giving me the money. And Prophet called him again, and he again lied to the Prophet for the second time, and he said, I don't have the money to support my father. How some people are, you know, they forget that the mun'im, the blessing provider, is Allah. It's not your money, it's an amanat in the hands of yours. In Islam, we believe we don't own nothing in Islam. Everything deeply that we possess is owned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are the amanat carriers. That's the difference between an infidel and a Muslim. An infidel is the person who will believe that this is my money, I made it with my efforts. That's how Qarun used to say, إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ. Quran says, إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. This is about me earning the money with my, you know, with all the knowledge and expertise and efforts that I have put into place. I made the money with my own efforts. That's my money. Isn't it right? That's how Qarun used to say. So in Islam, we believe that everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are the amanat carriers. We are supposed to behave. That's our test. How we behave with this entrusted trust. Prophet, when this guy, this son lied to the Prophet for the second time and denied to support his father, and the father was muhtaj, didn't have even money to live his life. Prophet said, tonight the night is not going to come until you will become more muhtaj and needy than your father. That means before the sun sets, before the night arrives tonight, you will become more needy than your father. That was the statement of Rasulullah, for whose subservience the entire universe is created. When he says something, it happens. And the same happened, all his warehouses of dates and raisins and all the things that he has gathered from the money, everything became muta'affin, destroyed and useless, and he basically lost all the investment that he had. So this is why, this is how, and then Prophet had said, أَيُّهَا الْعَاقُونَ لِلْآبَاءِ وَالْأُمَّهَاتِ O you kids who are aq, disowned by your fathers and mothers. This اِعْتَبِرُ, let me take a lesson out of it. وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّهُ, and know the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way his money was basically gone. تُمِسَ فِي الدُّنْيَا عَلَىٰ أَمْوَالِهِ. And similarly, بدل ما كان أعد في الجنة من الدرجات معد له في النار من الدركات. Instead of his levels in the darajat, this guy, in other words, if he supported his father, he would have been elevated in the darajat of paradise. And now, instead of getting elevated to further high levels in the paradise, he got basically dumped into the darakat and layers of the hellfire. That's how soon a person can drop down from, to that bottom. So, ihsan towards the parents is that important in Islam. This story of Hazrat Yusuf ala Nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam, which is mentioned in the Holy Quran, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala considers the qissa, the story of Hazrat Yusuf, to be ahsan al qasas, best, the best of all the stories. The qissa of the story of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, it's considered by Allah to be the best of all the stories. And it really has so many lessons to learn from the same people of Misr who purchased the Prophet of Allah as a slave. Isn't it right? This people who purchased this land where the Prophet of Allah was sold and purchased, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala converted the same nation into slaves. Isn't that an ibrat for a person? And the same, this is the land where the Nabi of Allah was sold as a slave. And now we find when the Aziz of Misr, the ruler of Misr, saw the dream, the seven fat cows are eating up the seven, skinny cows. And finally someone told him that there's a person in your prison who interprets the dreams, ta'bir al-ru'ya. And finally Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam was brought from the prison, and he gave the ta'bir that 7 years there will be lots of growing and growth and plantations. In other words, next 7 years it will be drought, famine. So you're supposed to protect the wheat. That means you put the wheat in its skin and save it. Bury it in the land, so you save it for the rainy days. Save it for the time when you will stand in need of that. And so we don't waste the wheat, we don't waste the food, in other words. But they wasted. They wasted the food. And what happened is that on those 7 years when the qahat, when the famine came, the nation had nothing to eat. What happened is that they had to come to Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, who then became the king later on. And in the hadith of Imam Ridha alayhi salam, we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah made all of them ghulam and slave of Prophet Yusuf. So we find first year the people came to Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam and paid the money to buy the wheat for their survival. Second year, the people of Egypt came to Prophet Yusuf and gave away their jewelry, jawahir, to buy the wheat for their survival. Year number three, they sold their lands. The third year, they sold their lands and gave their lands to Prophet Yusuf to buy wheat. On the fourth year, they gave all the things of their house. All the things that we have in our house for our living, they gave away those things in the house. Fifth year, they gave some other things. Sixth year, they sold their houses. And seventh year, they sold themselves. On the year number seven, they were selling their children, selling themselves. The men and the women were sold so that they can buy. Their children were sold so that they can buy wheat. And finally, the whole nation converted into the slaves of the same Hazrat Yusuf who was sold and purchased in that land. So this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has His own ways of taking, putting a slap on the face of those people who mess up with the values in the name of freedom and democracy and human rights. Isn't it right? That's how they are playing with the values of the nations and killing the innocent civilians. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has His own ways of slapping on the face. So we find that this is going on one hand. On the other hand, Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam is now the king. He is the Aziz of Misr. That's how they used to call in those days. And finally, when his father is now coming to, after years and years and years of waiting, and finally the father, Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam, is coming from far away to meet his son. And now, and that time when Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam is the king, and he was riding an animal, a markab, and the father arrived at that time when Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam was riding this animal, walking with his entourage, his people around with him, just like obviously when the king walks in the market, in the road, in the street. There are so many people of the administration with the king, isn't it right? So many people were with Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, and at that occasion his father, Hazrat Yaqub, after long years of waiting, he came to see the son. Obviously, they greeted each other, salam and all, everything, in a very nice way. But what happened is that Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam didn't get down. He didn't get off the back of the animal. He was riding the back of an animal. He did not get off the back in the respect and ihtiram of his father. Obviously, it's not a haram, but it's a tarkul awla that he did. And he did several tarkul awla in his life. This is one of that list of several that Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam did. So Allah sends, in the hadith of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, we find that Allah sends Jibreel. Please say salawat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends Jibreel immediately. Jibreel alayhi salam was sent by Allah, and he said, give me your hand. So Hazrat Yusuf extended his hand. فَخَرَجَ مِن بَيْنِ أَصَابِعِهِ نُورٌ.
That means a noor was taken out from between his fingers.
A noor was taken out, a noor came out between his fingers and raised up,
and it was gone. And he was shocked, what happened?
And Jibreel replied, هَذَا وَإِنَّهُ لَا يَخْرُجُ مِن صُلْبِكَ نَبِيٌّ أَبَدًا عُقُوبَةً بِمَا صَنَعْتَ بِيَعْقُوبِ إِذْ لَمْ تَنْزِلْ إِلَيْهِ.
This is a punishment from Allah that you did not get off the back of the animal, so there shall be no prophet coming from your lineage. So we find the nasl of the Nubuwwat ended at Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, and it's then continued from his brother who is called Lawi. The nasl of Anbiya continued from Lawi, who was his brother. So we find that Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, this uqubat was for the sake of the less level of respect. He did not disrespect his father. Disrespecting the father is haram. If a son disrespects the father, he is automatically aq. The father doesn't need to come and say, hey my son, now onwards I make you aq, I disown you. No, the father doesn't need to make this kind of announcement. As soon as we disobey our father or mother, we will automatically become aq. So we find that there are two instances in our Sharia where it becomes wajib to pray in jamaat. First of all, for those people who don't have the correct qira'at, the qira'at of Arabic is not correct. So for them, the Sharia says obviously it's wajib on them to learn the, you know, at least the basic tajweed, so they can recite the wajib things of the prayer, Surah Al-Fatiha and the next surah and other wajib things in the proper way. So for them, during the process when they are learning the tajweed and the wajibs of the tilawat and the qira'at, and that in those days of learning they must pray during the with the jama'at, so that at least their prayers can be considered as right. Second of all, it becomes wajib on the children to pray in jama'at if the father says that go and pray. If the father commands you, obeying the command of the father is wajib in Islam. So likewise, the opposite is also true. We have to leave the mustahab. If you are going to the masjid and your father says, hey my son, I need your help, don't go. And you still go to the masjid for the sake of jama'at. But jama'at is mustahab in Islam. It's not wajib to pray your salat in jama'at. But obeying your father is wajib in Islam. When a wajib is clashing with the mustahab, you can never get la qurbata. Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam says la qurbata bin nawafil idha adarrat bil fara'id. There is no qurbat, there is no closeness to Allah through the nawafil if it is harmful towards the fara'id. So if you find your father or mother are saying to you that don't go to the jama'at, then it will no longer be mustahab for you. It will be wajib for you to stay in your home and not to participate in the jama'at, because here the wajib is clashing with the mustahab. We find, even though you may be reading your Salatul Layl 300 times, Al-Afwa, Al-Afwa, Al-Afwa in the sajda, isn't it right? And your father asks you, my son brings water for me. What is more important for you? To continue saying Al-Afwa, Al-Afwa in the sajda? Yeah, leave that! Leave that and go and take water for your father. That's more important in the eyes of Allah than saying Al-Afwa in the sajda. Allah will forgive you, inshallah, if you support your father.
You need to understand the priorities. Some people are so silly. They don't understand the priorities of Islam, and they are busy in doing the simple-minded worships of Islam by ignoring the more important issues because they don't understand the Islamic value system. They are jahil and ignorant. We find in the story, one of the teachers was mentioning that there was a young boy in Iraq. He was he always used to go for the ziyarat, for the a'mal of Masjid al-Sahla. We go on the Wednesday, isn't it right? Masjid Jamkaran in Qom, we have to go on a Tuesday, and Masjid al-Sahla, we go on a Wednesday. So there are a'mal, and the mu'mineen, they stay up throughout the night, Ihya'ul Layl, and obviously these are the two masjids which are related and mansoob to Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam, and so many people have met with the Imam through their a'mal in the Masjid al-Sahla. So we find that this young man, he used to go with his friends every Wednesday, and he had an old father who wanted his help, and the father was getting, he needed the help. So what happened is that he skipped on one Wednesday, and then the friends started to say, "Well, you're not showing up any longer. Don't you love Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam? You are not coming any longer for visiting the Masjid al-Sahla." And he said, "Well, my father is sick." And then some people, start taunting. They don't understand the Islamic values, and they start taunting. Tons. And he stayed in his... Finally, when some of the friends insisted what he did, he went on one Wednesday, leaving his father. And that's where this teacher was telling that on that night, because he was so much careful, taking care of his father, he saw Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam. And Imam alayhi salam showed up, and he said to him that Usika bil'aud. That means I advise you to go back. It means go back and take care of your... That means go back and take care of your father. So it is very important that in the earlier times in the history, we learn the narration says there are two brothers, and one of them was taking care of the father. The other one was busy in his other ibadat, salatul layl, night prayers and all that, reading Quran and that. So he was seeking his forgiveness and maghfirat in the sajda. And we find that the voice from Ghaib came that I forgive you in respect of that brother of yours who's taking care of the father. He said, "Well, I'm doing this sajda for you." He said, I'm not muhtaj towards your sajda. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "I'm not muhtaj towards your sajda." Please say salawat. So it is our responsibility, brothers and sisters, that we start our infaq, our spendings on our parents first. If the father or the mother are needy, we take care of their needs first. And then, obviously, al-aqrabeen, our relatives, our who stand in need of us, our support, we need to support our father, our brother, our sister, uncles, cousins, anyone from your own family who need your help, you first support your own family members before supporting anybody else. And if we don't support our parents in the time of need, so the minimum what it takes for a son to become aq and disowned is if he says uff. Isn't it right? So uff is the smallest word in Arabic language which expresses our dissatisfaction and our frustration, that we are frustrated.
we disagree with what you are saying. So in the hadith of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he is saying that if there was a smaller word than uff, Allah would have used that. Imam alayhi salam says, if there was a smaller word than uff, Allah would have used that. So basically there is no smaller word in Arabic than uff, which expresses the meaning of frustration. So that's why Allah is using that word. So if in our own language we understand in the light of this hadith, in English language or any other language you may speak, in our language if there is any word which is a one letter word that can express your frustration towards your mother or father, if you say even that much, it is a bigger sin in Islam. And not just that, a person will become aq. Unless the parent, the father or the mother forgive you, then you will return back to your normal status. So what makes us aq and disowned from the parents is any word of frustration that we express in front of them. Or B, raising our voice. Well, when do we raise the voice? You raise the voice when your point is not taken, or when you think you are right, the person is wrong, and you dislike this argument, and sometimes we raise our voice. Raising the voice in front of the mother or father is another bigger sin in Islam, and it is another way of becoming aq, automatically becoming aq in front of the parents. Imam Sajjad al-Islam says that I am afraid of eating food with my mother, because if I take something that she is wanting to take ahead of her, let's suppose something is there in the food and she wants to take that and I take it ahead of her, so if this causes discomfort, it causes displeasure of the mother, it will automatically cause the son to become aq. So Imam al-Islam says, I'm afraid of eating food with my mother. So we need to understand this Islamic value system, that there is no taqarrub and qurbat towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if we raise our voice, or if we shout, if we scream, if we say any word that shows the displeasure. And these duties don't end in the life of the father and the mother. No one is allowed to think that, well, now that my father is no longer there or my mother is no longer there, he passed away or she passed away, so the duties have ended. In Islam, our fara'is do not end. We need to continue our ihsan and good behavior after their death. So we remember them, we do sadaqat, we do dua for them, we do khairat, we do nice things for them. Our fara'is continue towards the parents even after that. What to talk of hitting? And obviously when saying uff is haram in Islam, bittariq al-awla, hitting them is obviously haram. And not just that, but a person will obviously become aq. In the time of Amir al-Mu'mineen wa Imam al-Muttaqeen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam, Imam alayhi salam was there, and he was with Imam Hassan alayhi salam, and he heard the voice of some young man crying somewhere close to the Makkah and close to Baytullah, and he sent his son Imam Hassan to go and find out about the situation. And Imam Hassan alayhi salam found that this is a young man who was there, and he was crying. And Imam Hassan said to him, come to the call of the Amir. That means Amir Mumin alayhi salam is calling you, to you respond to his call. So this young man came to Imam Ali alayhi salam, and Imam asked him, and he said that the reason why I'm crying is that I used to do certain sins, and my father always stopped me from that. Once when he stopped me, I got really upset, really mad.
I picked up the stick and hit my father. And when I did that, my father, he was obviously an old man. He cursed me by saying that may Allah make you falaj, paralyzed. And obviously, you know the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Prophet has said the three du'as, salasu da'awatin mustajabat la shakka fihinna, the three du'as which are always accepted, there's no doubt about it. One of the three that Prophet has said is du'a'ul walid ala waladihi. That means the curse of a father against his son. That's always accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever the father curses the son, it's always accepted. And he became falaj, he became paralyzed. And after he became paralyzed, he was nadim, he started to repent, and he came to his father and seeking forgiveness from him to forgive him. Obviously, the father has more mercy. He said to the son, okay, I will pray for you. Let us both go to the Baytullah, to the Kaaba. That's a sacred place, in other words. So I'll go there and I'll pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and dua is mustajab next to the Holy Kaaba. So when he was going towards the Holy Kaaba along with me, on his way he died. My father died and I buried him myself, and that's the reason why I was crying, that my father could not go to reach the Kaaba and could not pray for me. Instead, he died in the middle of the way. So I remained paralyzed like this, and my father's dua could not happen. So Amir Umi alayhi salam said to him that your father, in other words, now that your father was ravi and pleased for praying for you, so I will do dua for you. So obviously, if the father is, we understand in the light of this hadith, if the father is not pleased, why would Imam Ali do dua for this kind of son? When according to the ahkam of the Sharia, a son is already aq from the father, Imam is going to do the dua when the father is ravi from the son. Isn't that right? In this case. So we find Imam alayhi salam said that now that your father was ravi and for your dua, so I will do dua for you. And in the narration we learned that Imam alayhi salam rubbed his hand over the body of that young man and he was cured by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam said to him that take lesson and take ibrat from this. So do the ihsan towards the parents, the good behavior towards the parents. So all these things that are happening in front of our eyes is an ibrat and lesson that we need to take and correct the behaviors. It is also very important that we find that after the death of the father or the death of the mother, obviously we believe the souls come into the house every Thursday. Every Thursday the soul comes into the house and he talks, the soul addresses the people of the family. Irhamu ghurbatana. That means have mercy on our loneliness. So do some sadaqah, some, you know, everything that we can do, because they cannot add anything into their amal. We have the time to add things into their amal. And obviously things that we do for our parents has a very high thawab in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just like the disobedience has a very high punishment, similarly obedience towards the parents has also very high thawab in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And our disobedience towards the Imam of the time is more important than anything else. Because the Imam of our time is the Abun Haqiqi, the real father. Ana wa Ali abawa hadhihi al-ummah. How Amir, Prophet has said in his hadith, me and Ali are the two fathers of this ummah. So at no cost in the life, a mu'min is supposed to disobey the Imam of his time. Just see how much importance we learned in the light of few narrations towards our physical and biological fathers and mothers. So what about the importance towards the ruhani and spiritual father, which is Amir al-Mumin and Rasulullah? They are the spiritual fathers of the entire Islamic Ummah. How are we supposed to do towards them? That's why it was a very big mistake what Hur has done towards Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Then when he was about to leave, he grabbed the reins, the zimam, the mihar of the horse of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein, what did he say to him? Sakalatka ummuka ya Hur. That means, may your mother sit in your sorrow. In other words, what you did is so bad that you deserve to die, and your mother should sit mourning the aza of your death. This is what it means. It's a very big thing. Sakaratka ummuka ya Hur. What an insult. This is an insult of the masoom, that you are blocking his way. And look at what Hur replies back to the Imam Hussain alayhi salam. If your mother was not Fatimah al-Zahra salamullah alayha, I would have said the same thing about your mother. But what can I do? I cannot say the same for Fatimah al-Zahra salamullah alayha. I cannot. This is how Imam Hussain is shaking the conscience of Hur and making him realize how wrong he is doing. That was the situation of the people of Kufa. They were ready to pray behind Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Hur prayed behind the Imam. When it comes to supporting the wali of the time, they are ready to do khiyanat, supporting the Tahut. Supporting the Tahut and serving the army of Tahut, raising the sword in the favor of the Tahut, but ready to do the salat and prayers and jamaat behind the Imam. That was the situation of Kufa. Politically, that means Islam minus Walayat. People of Kufa were following Islam minus Walayat, which is zero. Islam minus Walayat is equal to zero. Buniya al-Islamu ala khamsin, ala salati wa zakati wa siyami wa al-hajj wa al-walaya. Wa lam yunada bi shay'in kama nudiya bil-walaya. Isn't that right? People were never invited towards anything the way they were invited towards the walayat. And that's exactly what they left. Except very few people. So now in the night before Ashura, Hur is standing. And he's walking in his khiyam. And he's walking and he's so much disturbed. And his ghulam, his slave comes. And he offers some water to his master Hur. And Hur strikes his hand over the glass of water and he throws the water away. He did not drink. And his slave was very much shocked why he did that. He rushed to tell his son, and the son of Hur came and he asked his father, "Dad, what's the matter? Why are you so upset?" And Hur grabbed the hand of his son and he took him towards the khiyam of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam, where the kids were there raising the voice of Al-Atash, Al-Atash. They were all thirsty. And Hur said to his son in the middle of the night, "Do you hear the voices? Thirst, thirst, that these kids are crying, the kids of Ahlul Bayt. I am the one who is responsible for the thirst of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, because I am the one who brought him forcibly here. So I am responsible for all that for the Imam." And so Hur had already made up his mind that tomorrow when the morning comes, he is going to leave the Jahannam and go towards the Jannah. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam is the Sayyidah Shabab Ahlul Jannah. He is one of the two leaders of the youth of paradise. And tomorrow he sent to his son to tie up his hands behind him, you know, so that he can show his tawadu and modesty towards the Mawla. And his son is also going with him. Son also wants to join Imam Hussain alayhi salam. And then the father and the son are leading towards Imam Hussain. And we find that the Imam Hussain's side, they are doing istiqbal. They are welcoming this great companion to come towards them. This is the azamat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Look at his azamat and greatness. How he's doing the ziyafat and hosting a guest. Imam Hussain alayhi salam took care of every mustahab of the Sharia, even on the day of Ashura. Taking care of the wife of the guest is mustahab, to have a wife and guest. Isn't that right? Imam Hussain is taking care of every mustahab of the Sharia, even the mustahabbat. So Imam Hussain, who comes to Imam Hussain and he falls down over the feet of Imam Hussain. He makes himself fall down over the feet of Imam Hussain. He is not ready to raise his head until Imam Hussain forgives him first. You know, and he says, قَدْ كَانَ مِنِّ الَّذِي كَانَ. That means I did what I did. All the wrong that I did towards you, I already did all that. وَقَدْ أَتَيْتُكَ مُرَاسِيًا بِنَفْسِي. And now I came here to sacrifice my life for you. فَهَلْ تَرَى ذَلِكَ تَوْبَةً لِمَا كَانَ مِنِّي. So he's saying to his Mawla that if I sacrifice my blood, if I give my blood for you, is that be accepted as a tawbah for all the wrong that I did towards you? And the Imam is so kareem. He is not even ready to mention the wrong that the who has done. Imam ignores and doesn't even mention the wrong. And he says, Inzil. That means he is accepting her as his guest. And we find the Imam, he says to her, that so her raises his head. And finally, when the time of those sacrifices begins, we find her ask Imam Hussain to seek permission to go for the jihad. How can Imam Hussain allow his guest? Who is the guest of Imam Hussain? How can he allow? Imam Hussain could not even do the ziyafat, cannot even provide any food or water to the guest, because he doesn't have any food and water to present to the guest. And how can he allow his guest to go? And Imam Hussain did not allow her to go. So finally, who insisted for his son to seek permission for Imam Hussain, allow his son to go first. And the son, and the permission was given for the son, and the son of Hur went there. He did his battle against the enemies, and we find that finally, when the son of Hur became so much injured by his injuries, and he fell down, and he called his father for help. And Imam Hussain learns that that Hur is about to go towards helping his son. Imam didn't allow Hur to go there. Instead, Imam Hussain, look at his azamat, his karamat. He goes himself to support the son of the whore. If Imam Hussain is himself going there next to the son of whore. And finally, after a while, when whore also receives the permission, and he goes for his jihad, and whore also falls down, the riwayat says his face was towards the khiyam of Imam Hussain. Because maybe ihtimalan he was still thinking that I did such a big mistake. I don't know whether my ma'siyat, whether my wrong has been forgiven by the Imam or not. So he was still looking towards the khiyam. And in those moments, he finds that somebody raises his head and puts the head over his thigh. And when he opens the eyes, it is no one else but Imam Hussain. Imam himself comes and he raises the head of her. And he says to her, you know, that you know, your mother has named you rightfully, anta hur fi dunya wal akhirah. You are hur in dunya and akhirah. You are a free man in this dunya and akhirah. And we find that this is a great statement for Imam Hussein, who is ensuring the real freedom for her, real freedom from the desires of this world. We find finally when there was an injury on the forehead of her and the blood was constantly coming out from his forehead, Imam Hussein cannot tolerate that. He had his handkerchief, a handkerchief of his mother, Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra, and he takes the handkerchief and he ties up over the forehead of her. Look at the mercy and rahmat and rafat of Imam Hussein. How he's even supporting his follower in the final moments to comfort him from this small pain that he has. So Imam puts up the handkerchief of his mother over the forehead of Hussein, over Yazid al-Riyahi. And I would like to say to Mawla that after a few minutes we find Alim al-Asghar will be in your hands, and you will take Alim al-Asghar into the maqtar, and Alim al-Asghar will also become shaheed with the three-pointed arrow, and his neck will also have the blood coming out of his neck. What are you going to tie up the neck of Alim al-Asghar with? There will be nothing remaining at that time. This is the mercy of Imam.
ألا رأنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين. Please recite one Surah Al-Fatiha and three times Surah Al-Ikhlas for the thawab of the ruh of Marhuma Kaniz Rida binte Aulad Hussein. Some brothers have requested for dua for the hajat. Let's read the Ayatul Kareema five times for their hajat and the hawa'ij of all the mu'mineen in the Islamic Ummah. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. Amman yujibul mutarra iza da'ahu yakshifu su'. 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 Amman yujibul mutarra إذا دعاه يكشف السوء اللهم اقض حوائجنا وحوائج المؤمنين والمؤمنات خاصة هذا المؤمن المنظور بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين